So as I hinted when our children were sitting with me, I'm going to start today's sermon with you. If you're visiting us this morning, I would like to first thank you for being here and welcome you again. And then I would like to invite you to think for a moment about what brought you here. To what invitation are you responding? If you're looking for something, what is it? Just sit with that for a moment. And if you're a regular, I want to ask you why you keep coming back. I'd like you to sit with that for a moment. And then I'd like you to Then I would like to invite you to speak those words or phrases that come to you. Why do you keep coming back? And if you're feeling brave and you're visiting, what are you looking for? A word or a phrase? Shout them out.
Yeah. Sanctuary. Doing justice. Reminders. Growth.
Celebrate.
Wow.
Support. Traffic.
Curiosity. Thank you. So I'm going to ask another question, and I'm going to ask you to hold this one to yourself. Why are you coming to a religious institution to find that thing? Why come to church? To answer this question, I want to invite you to reflect theologically on your answer to the first question. Do you know what that means? Okay, I can do a primer. So theology, as many of us have probably learned somewhere, is traditionally defined as the study of God, right? So a traditional way to do the kind of reflection that is theological would be to ask, where is God in this? So if that language works for you, great, you can tune out for a moment. And I'll offer another way. And I'm going to define all of these words. I just love saying them. In my first class on liberal theology, my professor defined theological reflection as normative, critical,
practical, comparative inquiry. Yeah, he's a professor. Into and about religion and the religious. Normative means that it produces knowledge of the ultimate, however you know that. Critical means that it requires scrutiny and skepticism. We have to think it through. Practical means it's about the question of how we are to be in the world. Comparative means that we have a lot of options to think through. Inquiry means we're exploring. So doing theological reflection means that we're exploring among options of how we're to be in this world by using critical thinking about what we know or can learn about the ultimate. This is learning how to learn about God, or the whole which is larger than each of us, or that which connects us, or the universe. Theological reflection is a tool for making meaning of our experiences. And so put simply, what, so what, and now what? I'll give you an example. I come to church looking for community. So my what, the thing that I notice is important, is a community where I can be among people who care about the same things I do, where I can feel safe, where I'm learning about myself, what it is to be human. The so what, or how it relates, the so what is in what I know about what I call God, that God is in the connections that I make with the people around me. I could go further with this. I could reflect on the Bible passage that quotes Jesus as saying something like, where two or three gather in my name, there I am, right? Or I could sit with Thich Nhat Hanh's notion of interbeing, or the Unitarian Universalist understanding of the interdependent web. I could sit with those ideas for a while, reflecting on how my experience and community highlights my very human need to be together. And then the now what? What do I do with that? Is that I find myself needing to make sure that the community in which I do these things stays here for me and for others to do the same thing. It means staying in right relationship with the other people in it. It means supporting the community with my gifts and my skills. It means making sure it stays open and accessible for other people looking for these same things. Okay? So that's theological reflection. We will do this quietly to ourselves, and I will guide you. We'll take just a little bit of time with it. And if it helps you, if you're a person who needs to write or to draw as you reflect, it just so happens that the back of the announcement insert in your order of service is blank. Works out nicely. So first, remember your what. What did you say? What is it that brings you here? Sit with that for just a few moments. Let yourself see it, hear it, feel it. And then next, start to reflect on your so what. Is there a wisdom that comes out of a religious tradition or out of your experience that you can relate to what brings you here? And in what way is that important to you? And finally, your now what? What actions can you take, will you take, as a result of the understanding or the meaning that you have just come to know? I hope that you find the courage and the safety to share some of what you've just learned about yourself with others after the service. The thing I love about this practice is that it doesn't have to be done around a religious topic, like why we go to church. We can reflect theologically on most of our experiences in our daily lives. So, for example, when I went to Haiti with a group of seminarians a few years ago, we were required to do this work together every evening. We were to think back in our day and remember something we noticed, something that stood out. For example, how much lighter the rocks we were moving from pile to foundations in these buildings we were building, how much lighter those rocks felt when we were singing and laughing with our partners in the work. Then we were to reflect on the wisdom from the great faith traditions that related to what we noticed. And in that moment, what came to me was Rainer Maria Rilke's poem, Widening Circles. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and still I don't know, am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? And then we were to reflect on what we would do with this new perspective. And I thought about how I would bring the experiences of all I'd seen and all I had done in this country, in this place, how I might live in this wider perspective of humanity than I had ever known. What would I have to do differently after having been part of a community building a village that would save the lives of the people I was working with? Church consultant Anthony Robinson says that theological reflection is a way to align with what we believe with who we are. Such reflection helps a congregation preach what it practices and practice what it preaches. Theology is the best tool for congregations to speak the truth about the relationship between the human and the divine. I believe it's a practice that can open us to truth and meaning, to God, if you use that language, to that which is greater than us, and then move us to change how we are in the world. For me, theology is both how I make sense of the world and guidance in how I respond to it. And an important part of liberal theology, which our tradition is a part of, is the understanding that our experience is as much a source of wisdom as anything someone else might have written or done. So now we have some understanding of personal theological reflection, and we know that many other faith traditions have a defined theology that their adherents believe. And we know that Unitarian Universalism, or maybe not all of us know, that Unitarian Universalism does not have a creed of its own, that we draw from wisdom from many sources. So holding all of these understandings together, I wonder what you think about whether there is such a thing as a Unitarian Universalist theology. And if there is, what might be some of its components? What is a UU theology? Does anybody have things to shout out?
Justice.
okay, I'm done. I mean, I still have 5 pages here, but yeah. Our reading this morning was made up of different takes on EUU theology. So you have these in your order of service as well. I know this is small, but I wanted to play a little bit with multimedia. So you do have this in your order of service if you want to look at it. And we're not going to go through it bit by bit. But I wanted you to have something to look at. So Bill says, well, he says this whole long thing with all these words, right? So first he lifts up individual freedom of belief that came up here. Not because we're all entitled to pick and choose from a smorgasbord of religious beliefs. Not because of that. But because there is no one way to describe all that is creation. Right? You see the difference? This is his what. Then he creates a list of these affirmations that he says we all hold in common. His so what. Everyone has access to the divine, which is in all of creation, and it's found in everyday life. And that we're part of the interconnected web, the interdependent web of all existence, and that this too is sacred. This is the so what. And the now what flowing from this is the charge to us to take care of our earth home and our relationships with each other. Marilyn Sewell has also articulated her understanding with different kinds of words, right? We believe. She also starts off with individual freedom of belief, and then she moves on to this whole set of beliefs she thinks we hold in common, that we are made to be good. We are made to be good. And that revelation is continuous. These are her what, along with her acknowledgement of Jesus and the other prophets, and the importance of love among us humans. Her so what is made up of a Unitarian view of God's nature, God is one, and a Universalist understanding of God's love being more important than doctrine. Her now what revolves around our charge, again, a charge, to create the kingdom of God here on earth. And finally, we read our 7 principles together. Ooh, I'm done. I didn't do that, and I thought I did. You have those in your order of service. Would you think about our principles as a theological statement? Some of us wrestled with this last spring in a small group. Is that a theological statement? What do you if you think yes? If you think no? If you have no idea. Yeah. That's not a very easy question to answer, and I struggled a lot when somebody brought this up to me. I kind of went, "Well, I don't know. The person that wrote this curriculum says no." I think that whether they're a theological statement in and of themselves depends on the spirit in which we read them. I don't think of them myself as a theological statement, but maybe more as a basis for one. Kind of like the what, right, in theological reflection. These are the things we notice are important. There's an invitation in them that I see to reflect on the sources that appear directly below them in our hymnal and in our order of service, and how the theology found there relates to the sources. So if you want some homework, you could do that. I think one of the most important things to remember, though, in Unitarian Universalist theology is that revelation is continuous, which is very explicitly part of Marilyn Sewell's statement and implicit in both Reverend Schultz's and in our principles. Revelation is continuous. We are always learning, experiencing, knowing new things about God, about the ultimate, about the universe. This idea was first articulated by James Luther Adams, one of our most influential theologians in the 20th century, and it's the basis for the understanding that our own experiences and interpretations of earlier revelations put through that process of theological reflection are valid ways to create meaning and understanding. It's also the basis for calling Unitarian Universalism a living tradition, which means that our collective theology flexes and changes as new ways of understanding evolve. We'll explore our history a little more deeply next week, but for now I offer you a teaser that both Unitarianism and Universalism were Christian traditions in the 18th and 19th centuries, and the widening of understanding about what kind of Christians we were and the eventual end of calling ourselves only Christian were only possible because our people understood that these new sources of wisdom were valid ways of understanding and embraced them. And change and growth is still happening today. An example is our response to the Black Lives Matter movement. Last year, a black UU religious educator named Kenny Wiley wrote a blog post called A Unitarian Universalist Black Lives Matter Theology, and he starts by posing a question. In the Denver community, he writes, I strive to be a racial justice activist. When I introduce myself in justice circles, I say that my Unitarian Universalist faith informs my work. How many of us say that? I say it all the time. We'll have to explore that some more theologically. My faith, he writes, I have said, calls me to proclaim that black lives matter, that my life matters. Deep down, he continues, I've been asking myself, is that true? Is that true? I knew that I felt called, he writes, but was it Unitarian Universalism calling me here? Kenny invokes the first principle as he chronicles example after example of Unitarians and UUs who have responded to the call of working toward racial justice since the time of slavery. And he says he needed more than that principle to help him navigate through the reality of all those Unitarians and UUs who did not respond to that call. His what is that black lives matter, black lives have not always mattered to white people. His so what is the principle that we proclaim the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and there are UUs who understand that means that they are called to turn against the flow of white supremacy and promote and proclaim the inherent worth and dignity of black lives. So here's how Kenny ends his post. To fight for black lives now, this is his now what, to fight for black lives now is to participate in radical hope. It is to battle for salvation on this earth. It is to fight for life, for love, for justice. It is to demand more out of the first principle. It is to demand a more perfect faith. Most of us in the faith are here because we felt welcome at last here. Many of us are here because this faith and the people in it affirmed you may not be perfect, but your life matters all the same. He continues, that's what's on the line now. Through racism and posthumous victim blaming, through silence and bullets and indifference and vilification, black people are still being told our lives do not matter or that they matter only conditionally. Black lives matter if we are educated, if we are respectful, if. Right now, as Unitarian Universalists, he writes, we are being called to act. We are being called by our ancestors, those who insisted, who demanded that we help end slavery, that we fight for suffrage, that we join the struggle to end Jim Crow, that we listen to and honor black power. Lydia Marie Child and William Lloyd Garrison are calling us. You'll hear those names next week. Lucy Stone is calling us. Fannie B. Williams and Frances Ellen Harper are calling us. James Reeb is calling us. Viola Liuzzo is calling us. Those are Kenny's words. This is where our theology can take us, into deep engagement with the issue that so strongly, this is where our theology can take us, into deep engagement with the issues that so strongly impact us and our human siblings and our earth home, and I look forward to what we find our reflections guiding us to do. May it be so, and may we be so.